Hello and welcome back to the Jurgen Schoetz podcast, brought to you by OBRFC. We're back for the first episode of 2022, and that means one thing. Here's my co-host, Harry Bauer.
Hello, Tom. Happy New Year to all of our 50 listeners.
I've got a few more than that, Harry, you know. Wizzy and Bauer. Wandering the desert. For listeners and something else that you can't mention.
Our search for listeners. That's our next podcast, I hear.
I mean, we're doing okay, to be fair. For as we were saying earlier, for a university podcast, I think we're doing pretty well. I mean, you know.
In the niche market of university podcasts hosted by alumni.
Us in Gloucestershire, I think we're the only two that are about. But we seem to be doing quite well, you know. Fair few listeners. Hopefully pulling in the big sponsors soon. Watch that space.
Cash money.
So we've got a special guest this week, Harry, haven't we? We're obviously going to mention that a little bit later, but we're getting the old T-Mac on, aren't we?
We are. I'm sure it's going to be a good conversation. And yeah, I will not mention his hype once. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. I mean, we're going to be delving into his business. Obviously doing hugely well with that. We're going to be touching on a few points in that, obviously the fitness challenge, which we briefly mentioned on the pod before, and indeed his TDO role, and going into that a little bit deeper. But that'll obviously come along later in the show. But should we have a little bit of a catch-up, Bauer?
We shall, Tom.
It's been a bit of a while now.
It has. Month since we last recorded? I think we did the last one of this when I was in London. So
I think we recorded before, but we released one on Christmas Eve of all days. We've had a little bit of a Christmas break because you've got some tasty little Bucks fixtures coming this Wednesday. You know, might as well start the week it all kicks off. But, I mean, I understand you were playing this past weekend. Was it for your old Bourne? Was it?
I wasn't playing for Bourne. You know, I'm a bit of a free agent, mate. So wherever somebody wants me to play, I'll go and have a game. Unless the RFU are listening, in which case I've never played under somebody else's name.
No, that's not what you meant. You know, you're just present. You're watching, weren't you?
Yeah. I've never played under a false name.
Supporting grassroots clubs, I heard.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was being legitimate this weekend. I played in a little charity game. A mate of mine from when I first actually started uni, when I moved clubs at the start of uni, he had a retirement game. He's been advised to stop playing. So he called upon friends and foes, past and present.
He wants the bit of the Bauer.
Yeah, come and play in the last hurrah. So I went and had a little 60 minutes. When I got there and saw my name on the team sheet with the number 6 next to it, I was a bit concerned.
But hellfire. Yeah,
had a good game, was he? I made a grubber kick try. I kicked through, regathered.
A what?
Got a grubber kick, mate. Kicked through, regathered.
Me.
The winger tracking back.
Regathered?
Regathered it.
Wow.
Had the winger chasing me down, gave him the old hand to the face and over the line, mate. And then I did the honourable thing and passed the ball to somebody to let them have a little try because I'd already gotten the board, mate. Slotted one between the posts.
I thought you were about to say you graciously gave the ball over instead of kicking your conversion over yourself, but I was quickly reassured that you were just being a good teammate there, mate. Scary scenes.
Yeah, I did afterwards actually point out to the player that he's probably scored more recently than me because I don't think I've scored a try since 2019.
Well, mate, got to get back on that horse. And I guess you did.
Yeah. Genuine try scorer, mate.
Now, Harry, amongst your technical prowess this weekend, you must have found time to watch a bit of the Champions Cup, of course.
Yeah, watch one or two games, mate.
Now, look, before we get into this, it is very important that I point out something happened in the break in between the last episode that, I mean, you know, hasn't happened in a while, you could say. Would you like to enlighten our listeners to what happened? Mr. Bailey slotting a beautiful kick.
Yeah, I hear Bath finally won a game, but not to detract, you are back to losing ways the weekend just gone, getting a small pumping by La Rochelle.
I mean, 21 points against La Rochelle, I'll take that from where we've been. Like, get back on the win the league. That could have been a lot. I mean, back before then, I think we both agreed pre-Christmas, you'd have probably said that would have probably been a pretty high score to nil, wouldn't you?
I mean, talking about high scores this weekend.
Okay, yeah, all right, look, okay. I mean, it wasn't like a huge pumping, but mate, I will take that after the time that we've had. Good drill team, and it was in France. That has to be mentioned. Away days as well. But I know you're dying to talk about Leicester.
I was really actually hoping we'd avoid talking about Leicester at the moment.
I mean, a win's a win, mate.
Yeah. Just more. We gave up our winning streak, didn't we, against Wasps the weekend before?
I wasn't going to talk about that, to be honest, because you know what? When I was watching that game, I thought when I get back on the pod with Barry, I'm gonna level with him. I was so annoyed at that game. I was actually disappointed for you. I felt you deserved that. And yeah, I just think you were the better side and you just fell short. But yeah, I don't even support Leicester, but I was gutted. I can't imagine how you felt.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hard one. I mean, you have to lose eventually, don't you? Like, there's only one certainty. Every week you're winning, you're a week closer to losing. So,
and you've equaled the record as well.
We've equaled our own record, which conveniently was ended last time by Wasps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that Leicester Wasps rivalry is
something's at play, Bauer. Something's at play with those Wasps. You got
weird forces, mate. Weird forces. But no, I mean, we've restarted a streak this week, hopefully, and I think you've restarted your losing streak. So.
It's not league, Barrow. We'll leave Europe. You know, you've got to focus on the league. You've got to focus on the league. Europe will come and go. We've got to focus on the league.
No, was it? Yeah. I mean, I know a few Irish rugby lads, and one of them's a Connacht or Connacht. Genuinely, I don't think anybody from there says it the same way. I dropped him a message, gave him the old unified Irish lyrics, come the day, come the hour, come the Leicester. And he sent me a few expletives, but...
It can't be repeated.
Definitely not. No, but that it was a happy result away in Ireland, never a nice place to go and play.
Yeah. I mean, amongst
nice place to go and play, but... It's windy, isn't it?
I think whenever you watch it on the TV, it's such a curious ground. It's like winds blowing anything you've got in hand out of your hand. I mean, it plays havoc on the ball. Unless you're finely attuned to playing there, I think you're going to go there and have a pretty tough afternoon. So to come away with the win it was, I think it's just one you've just got to go, yeah, fair enough, we'll take that. We'll go back home.
The question is Bundiaki going to be available for the Six Nations?
That is a question. He was a bit of trouble as well, wasn't he? He's having a bit of a chat with the referee and then releasing a statement after saying, you know, fair play to him, like afterwards. I mean, not great at the time, but fair play to him afterwards, you know, holding hands up and going, do you know what? You know, kids watching everything, that's just not how you should.
Tell you what though, I don't want to speculate, but that I just thought that the sort of media team might have proofread that statement because it seemed a bit like written on the piss. It wasn't from the sort of gods of oratory.
I think it was probably a notes job underneath the social table, I reckon. Just a little on notes on his phone going, right, just say that. And then they put full stop there. Yeah. You never know. But yeah, so we'll see. But I guess, you know, it's not the first time, unfortunately, Mr. Aki has been in a bit of bother, but we'll hopefully we'll get to see everyone out in the Six Nations. It'll be a good little trek. But I think we've got to mention, I mean, I've got a score written in front of me, Harry. I mean, the Leinster score, 89-7 against Montpellier.
I watched it yesterday, and I think Brian O'Driscoll summarized it. Yeah, you've got to take something away from this game. And what do you take here from Leinster? You should have scored 100 points. Yeah, they should have scored 100 points. And Montpellier shouldn't have scored. Right. That their try came out of nowhere. It was just Leinster sleeping. Like, that should have been a 100-0 drubbing. Genuinely, it was embarrassing. And I mean, I know Montpellier had a mix of youth and age in that side and a lot missing. But in the Premier Rugby tournament, it's unacceptable. That's like the sort of scores you saw back in the 80s and the 90s when the game was like on the verge of professionalism. Great result for Leinster. And it's going to make up for that joke of a result the other week, the 28-0 for Montpellier against them because of obviously the COVID. But I mean, what a joke. What a genuine joke.
Yeah, clearly had a point to prove. And they wanted to come out in the biggest way possible. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly
the record for like Leinster victory margin in a European competition, or like the European record victory margin, one of the two.
It might be. I mean, the amount of records that team. I mean, amongst all the jokes and the banter about, you know, it's Ireland, blah blah blah, a number of Irish players in that team. I mean, they've still got to go out and play, and the amount of records that Leinster team are setting and, you know, beating and resetting, and I mean, it's nuts. Like, this is going to be a vintage Leinster team that's going to go down for many years in the future.
I think we're just looking forward to the knockout stage of this. I think there's a lot of teams in the way for it. I mean, I think Ulster looking class as well. You've got Leinster. You've got the Tigers. I think there's going to be a few teams there or thereabouts for this competition. Exeter like bouncing back from when they played Glasgow last time in the fog, fog in Glasgow.
The battle of fog.
It's all over the place. I mean, some great close scores and then some absolute runaways.
The Bristol game was a good watch. The Bristol game was a good watch. The Bristol Stade Francais game.
The Stade de Francais.
28-17, that was a good old game. I think that sort of swayed here or there. You weren't really too enthused by sort of the Stad team that turned up, but then they just burst into light and, put Bristol on a bit of pressure, but then they came good in the end. But I think you probably saw that for quite a few of the games this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, good little mix, wasn't it? I don't think anybody went to France and won this weekend. But it's always a competition. I see Scarlets, they must be your team, was they?
No, mate, they're not.
Are you, an Osprey or?
I'd probably be a Dragons man, to be fair. Sort of family speaking. I'd be around there. I'd be a Dragons man or a Blue. Well, they're not called the Blues anymore. Cardiff man. Cardiff man or a Dragons man. But yeah, Scarlets, that game, obviously a lot of stuff's coming out of that. Dwayne Peel's head coach has come out this week and said how they just weren't switched on. They just didn't show up, and they've just got to be sharper next time out. They've got to just switch upstairs on and just keep the focus and bounce back very quickly, because I think he wasn't too happy with what they came out with at all. And obviously it resulted in that 45-10 loss. But not happy. Some of them out of that.
So a couple of elephants in the room as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Leicester Tigers salary cap.
Yeah.
I've got it on good authority. Nothing has been done wrong. And Leicester could even not be looking at a fine here.
Well, it's a tricky one because, to be fair, this is historic, isn't it? This is not, it's not the current Leicester team that they're on about. I've read and heard, it's potentially three seasons ago that this is concerning.
Yeah, I mean, so I've heard all sorts. Some are saying this could be were even talking 10 years ago. And they're looking at it because of how it's structured. I've also heard it could be more reasons, like you say, because 3 years is still in the time frame. But what people forget in all of this, we had Harlequins have been fined for salary cap breaches in the past. I think Worcester and Saracens were fined several times before they got their sanction. So it could even be, I've heard, like less than 100,000 overspend, which I think the fine works out about 50K. So,
yeah, because they were discussing this on, it might be on TV, it might be on BT. They were discussing, obviously, there is a buffer. You know, there's not, you know, naturally a team will enter or will break the salary cap of sorts or any sort of financial parameters just naturally throughout the season. But it's on the levels in which they have. I think you could probably openly admit Saracens was not just a little tiny breach. And I think you could probably argue that this Leicester Tigers one, from just what's out there at the moment, it's not going to be one that's, you know, completely and utterly breaking the bank. It's probably entered the very top end of that minor first breach bracket, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes down to the infamous image fees, which, I mean, all clubs used to do it, and they got what happened with Saracens was obviously to do with that, and substantially, I think, a couple of players getting paid obscene amounts. And there is some suggestion that might be what's happened at Leicester as well.
Someone's bought Tuolangi a boat, haven't they?
mate, I mean, why would he want a boat? He'd just jump off the back of it.
He would.
On Manu Tuolangi, big news coming out of Sale. They've lost again.
Yeah.
And that's all we're going to say about Sale Sharks.
That is all we're going to say because,
we're not even going to say it.
Because?
Because you know why.
We all know why.
We all know who.
We all know who.
But we don't know who, despite it being very obvious.
Indeed. It's the world best kept secret and all that. But anyway,
I mean, actually, this does have something more genuine to say. Yeah, we cannot name it for legal reasons.
Yeah.
But the papers have just drip fed it till it's so easy.
Yeah, that's something that I've really not liked. I mean, I think it's a valid point to make that, you know, putting stuff like, I know there's some sort of parameter to release certain statements like that where they sometimes do indicate whether it's a male or female. And I don't know if they ever do sort of age here or there, but they very clearly said it was in various things, just piecing the puzzle together.
They put it together. They said, like, they said
29 years old, male. Well,
it was. It started England star, then former England star, then Sale, former England star, then former England star from Sale, who's 29 years old.
Yeah.
Whose initials are, we're not going to say.
Yeah.
It's honestly been led down the road. I mean, like, honestly, so bad for Danny Cipriani.
Yeah,
well.
I was going to say, like, that's disgraceful. Can you imagine it? I mean, just people turning up outside, just putting two and two together, getting five. And yeah, you obviously saw the statement that came out after from his other half.
It honestly atrocious what's happened there. And I mean, I just think it's been handled terribly across the board.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's just, I think it's one to definitely, you know, learn from, because, yeah, he didn't deserve that at all. And there's obviously something greater at play going on, which, yeah, just at the end of the day, just doesn't need to be played out in public like that. I think it was, you know, it's not what you want to be really seeing, you know, people, you know, the press just going for someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all an utter travesty. But I mean, we'll all see in due course, really.
Indeed.
So, Wizard, I hear there's some big, big news coming out of Wales.
There is, Harry. I mean, it's rare you have moments like this in rugby where you look at a story or a release and have a huge amount of pride after reading it. So news coming out of Wales is that there are 12 professional contracts on the table for Welsh rugby women, which I think is absolutely outstanding. Obviously, led by Suanna Lee Crap, she's done an absolute wonder of a job pushing and, to an extent, at times maybe fighting to have
bragging.
Well, just trying to get somewhere in such a tough world, and it's been well documented how, you know, difficult of late the Welsh setup has been. Less said about that, the better. But no, it's just a hugely, hugely proud moment. You know, the interview she did for BBC this past week, I mean, you know, she was getting very teary, very emotional. Obviously got her on the other great pod, Love of My Life, on the Women's Rugby Pod. We got her on there to talk about it, and just more so the fact that just what a good role model she is, but generally just what a really nice person she is. I think that's maybe overlooked sometimes amongst, you know, some really good values that we've got in the game, that some people that are just generally nice people do tend to sometimes get overlooked. But yeah, just hugely pleased for her and all the girls that got contracts. You know, 12 of them. That's
I was about to ask. So how's this working with this 12? Is it okay? Because obviously 12 people doesn't make a team. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't make a squad. Is it because there are some Welsh people playing in the professional setup in England, so that they've been overlooked this time around, or is it what's going on with it? I'm not much of a follower, especially of Welsh rugby. Like, how is it structured? Are these like 12 players getting like broken into the four clubs in Wales, like they've done in other scenarios, or what?
Yeah, so take Suanna Lee Crap. She's the Welsh captain currently. She plays at Bristol Bears Women. She's also head of rugby at Swansea University, so heads up there, head of rugby on the women's side of things. From what I understand, there will be contracts coming out of Wales, and then depending on, because you get such an eclectic sort of situation amongst loads of different clubs, where it's pro, semi-pro, amateur still, whatever and whatever. Obviously, I don't know the absolute in-depth of maybe what she's doing with sort of with Bristol Bears, but the idea is that those Welsh girls getting those 12 contracts will, in their own individual right, to do with their national side and moving forward with their development, that will take them full-time in that ilk, so to speak. So they'll be approaching their week as a professional rugby player rather than having to do, you know, a job on the side while playing their rugby. Obviously, I think it'll probably be a bit different with Suanna, because she'll probably will obviously keep that Swansea role, but it'll be different for others.
With your point there, I mean, one of the big things we've seen with women's rugby, it's progressing so much, but it's a case of Rome wasn't built in a day, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
What was it? Women's rugby in England went professional the first time in England because of everything that happened thereafter. What, 10 plus years ago now? It's taken 10 years being at the stage of this, the Premier 15s that they have. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be just as long and grueling a task in Wales, isn't it?
It's almost the whole women's rugby world are almost a victim of England's success, I think it must be said, because the fact is that, you know, England have those contracts in place. They're, you know, these full-time contracts in place, which is just showing how, you know, what a massive push that can be to just everything in general. And just their sheer level of performance and what they're delivering. You know, you saw the Autumn Internationals, what they were delivering against, you know, the Black Ferns, Canada, USA, etc. It's somewhat pushing other countries to therefore become professional and almost enforcing the point that, you know, come on guys, we've got to push along now. We've got to become professional. We've got to give these girls the best opportunity to be the best they can be. And it's almost being, you know, it's almost pushing people to be at the same level. But as you said, you sort of come into that issue with it being that Rome wasn't built in a day, and that, you know, you've got to get that ball, at least get that ball rolling, so to speak, and then you can progress. But yeah, it's an interesting one, but it's one that's getting better day by day. But Yeah, I think one critique you will always be able to say is that the speed could potentially be, you know, while someone's walking, they could potentially be jogging.
At the same time, you prefer them to be walking than falling. So
true.
I think that's what went wrong with England as well. They put in these professional contracts and they had nothing to stay in it, which is why the things like the Premier 15s had to be developed.
Yeah.
That said, in the meantime, England will appreciate still being in prime position to retain their spot as the best women's team in the world. And hopefully the men can learn a bit off them going forward. As can finally say it, the Rugby World Cup in France is next year.
It is. I mean, this is going to be a cracking couple of years. We just touched on the women's game. We've got the World Cup obviously playing in 2022, was 2021, but we all know why that is. We've got the World Cup coming at the end of this year. And then the year after, there's no waiting about, slam bang into France. I mean, what a time to be alive though, Harry.
What an absolute gem for sport. Where is the women's game?
New Zealand. Fancy trip. Should we go?
I dare say the funds will not extend that far.
Oh, we could have done a live pod down there as well.
More than a week's work. Like a few pods, mate.
Absolutely.
Well, if you are a keen supporter of the pod and would like to pay for Baron Wiz to go to New Zealand, get in touch.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to come with us.
It seems like every week I'm trying to plug a different way of people giving us money.
I mean, you don't ask, you don't get, Harry. So you don't ask, you don't get. It's got to be that way. Now, Harry, 2022.
New year, new me.
New year, new T-Mac. I reckon we've got to bring on the TDO himself, Tom McDonald. How you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good. We've been here and you've been in the sun while it's decided to just rain here.
I have, mate. Been in Kenya, got back last night, so it's been a pretty tough holidays, to be fair.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
What's the purpose of your trip, Tom?
Business or pleasure? Mate. Business or pleasure?
Well, mate, business never sleeps, so always crossover.
Oh, here we go.
Doing an Adam Moriarty and recording all these videos overseas, were you?
No, more planning for the future, actually, Bauer, while sitting by the pool.
He's biding his time before the Empire really does strike back, isn't it, T-Mac? Oh, we're full of puns tonight.
Planning.
But anyway, let's crack on with this. So let's talk about what we're talking about. TMC, established, what, May 2021, I believe. Talk us through it.
Yeah, so started, if we start at the beginning, so I had in January, back in, I think it was the first lockdown in 2021. It was the second one then. And I was really bored at home and was in my second year at Brooks. And then I really wanted to do a personal training course. Just for my own knowledge, really. Not, I never wanted to be a personal trainer, but just to help me. Looked it up, it was $2,500. So got a bit of a shock. So I was like, obviously I can't afford that. Need a way to pay it off. How can I pay it off? Went to Brooks Rugby, spoke with Amphlett and Ben Parker back at the time and Wimpenny, and just said, look, if I did this course and get back to Brooks Rugby to help out, and would they consider paying for it? They ended up kindly paying £500.
It's more than I got out of Wimpenny, don't worry.
I know, I was pretty happy with that, to be fair.
Still chasing that check.
A net winner you are there, T-Mac.
Yeah, it's been a saving grace. And then kind of that helped a little bit. Obviously, that wasn't all of it, so I needed kind of more money, essentially, and then thought of maybe if I could train people and sort of did a survey.
Rather than animals.
And then did a survey, got a good response from what I was thinking, and then started TMC, which is an outdoor personal training and sports coaching company, strictly targeted at students.
And it's quite a good brand, isn't it? Because obviously you've done something quite clever with the name, haven't you?
Yeah, so the name, so TMC, obviously people assume it's Tom McDonald's something coaching, but actually it's training, motivation,
and coaching.
So kind of worked out well, and then officially released it. I started planning it in January and then officially released it in May and kind of cracked on over the summer here at Quinn's, which is class.
And obviously you were running myself and Fair Glory through our paces. I mean, we were quite good, no? I mean, he definitely put me and Ferg through our paces. I mean, I was thinking, you know, this is gonna be good. You know, we're gonna ease into it. I turn up. It's a rainy Tuesday afternoon or morning. I can't remember. And we turn up. It's in the car park. And
oh, was it? If it was you, it's definitely not the morning.
I mean,
I reckon I got him out of bed, Bella.
I just don't believe it. I've tried to get that man out of bed. It's impossible.
T-Mac, there's the motivation part of his business. It's clearly working. So anyway, as I was saying, we ended up in the car park. I turn up. It's all this kit out the back of his car. I'm thinking, hold tight, we're going for this. And what, a few weeks later, felt unreal.
There you go, mate.
Good on you, mate.
It got taken up really well. It started as more individuals and boot camps, and then as the summer went on, kind of come into pre-season at the back end of summer, got more into sports clubs and the wider population, shall we say.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
How many people have you seen so far, Tom? Just a rough guess.
I reckon 150.
That's class.
Decent chunk.
That is very good indeed.
Yeah, 150, 200, a lot of repeat offenders, which is always good.
It's always good.
Best time of business.
Best time of year, mate. Best time of year. I'm sure Ferg's giving you a little call.
Hey?
I bet Ferg's giving you a little call.
Yeah, Ferg loves it. He was really helpful to me. I've actually had so much help from the lads and Joe and the club. So couldn't have really done it without a lot of people's help. Too many to mention, but
the buy-in's been fantastic, hasn't it? I mean, it's not just, you know, Rugby Union you've been working with. You've obviously been working with Netball as well, and potentially seeking out other clubs at Brooks as a sort of...
Yeah, so did, yeah, so a lot of rugby and netball, and then the polo club, Brooks cheerleading, and bits and bobs from other clubs. So it's kind of building, like, the plan always was just to smash the summer. Like, it's all outdoors, obviously, so it's a summer gig, and then winter came, and then did some stuff online, and then now I'm just in the planning phase to smash it all next summer.
Bigger and better things pending.
Tell you what, summer's almost here. I had my first cricket nets last night. Awful sign.
You and your cricket, Bauer.
I had the most interesting weekend, mate. Played rugby Saturday, woke up yesterday, literally couldn't move. Went to cricket nets, all's going well. Have a quick bowling, 10 yards, a lot of decent slow bowling. Then went into bat. First thing that happens, I get one right next to the knee roll, like just misses the pad straight onto the corner of the knee and basically put me on the deck.
It's a tough life, Bauer.
Sounds like you need to move to Fulham, T-Mac, your business operations a little bit. Move Fulham way and like get Barra on board. I think he needs some motivation and coaching indeed.
I tell you what, the amount of ex-Brooks I see wandering around Fulham, there's a good business market there for you, T-Mac.
Yeah, that's half. Sorry, I reckon.
at least half. Now, it'd be rude not to get stuck into this fitness challenge because we know you're a massive driver behind it, involved with how it all came about and whatnot. Do you want to talk us through? We'll obviously remind everyone the figures in a minute, but
yeah, we did it was actually Mike that came to me and said, oh, you should do a fitness challenge for Movember to help the club. We're obviously raising funds, and then
shout out the chin.
In addition to that, and then Mike just said, you know, why don't you do a fitness challenge? And then I started thinking through challenges, and then eventually came up with a 24-hour lifting challenge. I wanted it to kind of like symbolize something. So we ended up doing all the movements in the challenge were lifting things up. So like burpees, deadlifts, dips, kind of stuff like that. And then throughout the 24 hours, it was pretty cool in there. And we set like a marquee up in my garden, loads of mats, had all my equipment, load of beers for afterwards, obviously.
Really? Just getting on the lash whilst lifting.
Yeah, the supporters were on the lash. It ended up being really good. Like the lads really bought into it. We had two or three people going through every hour. Everyone got an hour time slot. We had two or three people every hour of the day and night. And like fair play to the lads that were there sort of 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m.
Well, we're discussing this the other week because what you did it on Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, and all we're thinking is these lads have committed to not going to Bridge tonight to do this. Yeah. So it's a fair effort.
Yeah, to be fair, it was a Monday. Now I come think about it. We had a load of lads that were just preying, like they were just coming, you know, supporting. But we're just getting on the beers and then we're going out afterwards. So it worked well.
Pre-workout then prees.
I think Charlie Mackay, I can't remember if he did or not, but he said he was going to go to Bridge and then come back afterwards to the challenge. it was good. The lads really bought into it. We ended up lifting just short of 2 million kilograms.
Yeah, 1,923,365 kg. That's a hell of an effort.
I mean, it's a letdown, isn't it? Should have done the extra 76 kegs.
We should. Well, we didn't have a target because it's quite hard to figure a target. We couldn't really work out because obviously it's so different how much individuals can lift. So we never really had a target. And then it got kind of close to 2 mil. And we were like, we kind of had 1 or 2 hours to go. And we were like, oh, we could actually go.
Should we do it?
but ended up just short. But I think we raised over 750 quid in that 24 hours.
And yeah.
Something like that. So
yeah,
went pretty well. And I'm sure, I mean, the club will continue, hopefully.
Yeah. More challenges to come.
I'd say it's another one of the club's many charitable efforts over the last few years, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been really on it, to be fair. We had Baird last year or 2 years ago was heading up the whole of November for Brooks, I think, and he smashed it, and we've done a load of inter-club stuff, and like Mike and Bruce ran a quiz and did stuff at social. So now everyone bought in, it was wicked.
It's unreal to see. Hopefully we'll see something a bit more. I don't know. You got something behind your ear, T-Mac? Something a bit more out there? Potentially a future challenge before we finish the year?
I couldn't tell you, is it? I couldn't tell you, mate.
It's good, then.
I can't release it on a big platform like this, mate.
It's good, then. It's good, then. That's all we need to know. We don't need... Don't say no more. Say no more.
How dare you, T-Mac? I hear we were the other week. Number one... 100 and something in the UK for rugby pods. So
there we go.
A bit higher than that, pal, mate.
I was just making it up, mate.
Oh, mate, a bit higher than that. We're actually not doing that badly. I mean, you know.
It's a very niche market, the university rugby pods in, but Wizzy's got it sorted.
It's us in Gloucestershire. I think we're offering a top quality service here, just saying. But anyway, moving on. And now you've come out with something this past week, haven't you, T-Mac, about a little inquiry you've put out there for something exciting?
I have, yeah. So as part of TMC and the company, I wanted to do something over summer, like an athlete YouTube series, whereby kind of I approached professional athletes from a range of sports. I put a thing on Instagram, response was awesome, like with pro rugby players, top league netballers, professional cricketers, the like kayak world champion, European athletes for running. We had a England lacrosse player, Team England dance, like it all came out of the woodwork. So the idea is that a professional athlete in whatever sport, or not necessarily professional, but who have played to a really high level, would take me through their typical training session that they would do for their sport during the summer, and we kind of film it and make a series out of it, and then from that it offers an insight into how professionals train. So you know, it's good for kind of kids and, well, adults as well, really, to, if you're into rugby, say, to see how a pro rugby player would train. And then I want to compare the styles.
I mean, just one question on that, like a three-piece question. Just without any insight into it, yeah, what do you think's going to be the easiest, the hardest, and the one that's actually going to be the dark horse?
I would say the hardest is going to be rowing.
Yeah.
I would not disagree.
The easiest, I'd say, I don't really know, like something I don't know, because what's easy for me will be different. Like I think, say,
you can't say rugby.
The dancing one could be potentially a lot of sort of calisthenics and gymnastic sort of stuff, which
that's got to be the dark horse, surely.
I would find difficult, yeah. I don't know.
I reckon you'd be quite good at the kayaking one, to be fair, mate.
I looked at his Instagram, this kayaker, I can't remember his name, but and he was doing some mad stuff just because it's so specific to kayaking. So he was on all these machines. That'd be an interesting one.
I think that'll surprise you.
I think it would, yeah. I mean, a lot of them are going to have in common, like, you know, a core. I don't think my core will hold up in most of them, let alone my engine for something like rowing.
But, hey, yeah, mate, just imagine, if you're doing a comedy version of it, you can get me on if you like.
I mean, to be honest, T-Mac, you're just going to have to cop out in the rowing and do the coxing, aren't you?
Yeah, well, that's what I was made for, I reckon, Bella.
Barking orders.
But yeah, rowing, I reckon, will be the tough one.
So when we expect to see that? Is that going to be sort of early summer, mid-summer? When are you thinking about getting this all together then?
I'd start it when I've finished my degree, so May onwards. But, you know, it's kind of athlete dependent. Like for different athletes, like obviously the rugby players will have it'll be their off-season, but the cricketers will be mid-season.
Yeah.
It all depends on their schedules. But yeah, just throughout summer, if I could get one every week or one every 2 weeks.
So have you set like a number yet of what maybe in, say, a series that you build up, how many you might have?
Yeah, not yet. I'm still in the process of picking the athletes and, you know, I'm not going to have time to cover every sport, am I? So it's kind of, it will probably try. If I could do 10, that'd be unreal.
Just do all the sports, mate. What was it? There's that couple this summer that did every Olympic sport. Mad thing they did for charity, and they like did dressage. They like knew somebody who could sort some horses, did the dressage, did the rowing, did everything. But just do it all, mate.
You reckon all in the same day? I reckon, Bella.
Sport versus T-Mac. Yeah, love to see
man versus food, man versus sport,
man versus sport. Well, I look forward to seeing that then. Yeah, and then obviously we can't go out talking about your committee position. TDO, do you want to give us a bit more about that for those that don't know what you do and what it involves and what we've obviously seen you put a lot of hard work in internally, but do you want to say what it kind of entails?
Yeah, so this year I'm the TDO, which is the Talent Development Officer, which is actually a really new role. George started it last year and passed it on. So it was good in the way that because it's so new, George sort of said, when I was asking him a bit more about it, just said, it's kind of up to me. It's what I want to make of it. And there's like room for me to do, to kind of take the lead and just, you know,
express yourself.
Just make it what it is. So the role has a few factors. So the first one, what we struggled, and I'm sure every rugby team, let alone uni team, struggles with is obviously when the freshers come in, is how long does it take you to get the right people in the right teams?
Yeah.
Which, realistically, it might never happen during the season, but you've always got that story of the player played in the fifths and then next week or a month later he's in the ones, and vice versa, that starts pre-season playing for the first, everyone thinks, God, he's good, and then suddenly he ends up in the fourths or whatever. So my part of my role was working out ways that we can minimalise that time, and how can we get the right people in the right teams, because obviously everyone's happy. It's better for everyone when the right people are where they should be. Another part of the role is getting people into clubs. You know, we've got five teams this year at Brooks, but there's still people that want to play externally. And either, you know, George playing in National League 2, or people that want to, you know, that didn't make the fifths, but still want to play rugby. So helping them get into clubs, whether that be at Quinns, Banbury, Chinner, somewhere like that.
And then obviously, I suppose you also have a responsibility after kind of make like almost seeing them on their way afterwards as well. So to speak, just making sure that, you know, they keep throwing the pill around after they've, you know, packed up and finished uni.
Yeah, exactly. We just want to get people playing as much as possible. So if there's not an opportunity at Brooks for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't end there. They can still go and play elsewhere. And then I kind of tied the role as well into, I've got a rugby coaching qualification. So we kind of tied it into that in that I'm helping with coaching. And, you know, if players want a certain aspect to work on, they can kind of come to me and I'll give them, or if I can't take them through it personally, give them something that can help them get better.
Yeah, it's obviously it's something that's been hugely beneficial, you know, for the club itself, because it, in a way it allows you to constantly monitor how players are doing, what, you know, maybe shortfalls, or if you're in the gym with them, you can show them stuff to target. And that then will obviously raise a ton of players' games just purely on little aspects that might not have been unintentionally missed in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of the big things I did was organise like the fresher trials. So it used to be back in Bowers' day and your day, actually. We used to just have one kind of, the freshest trials was just a game, like a full goo, 15, yeah, put into random teams and it's just full smash.
Just chugging. Oh, so you see Bauer with a wry smile.
Nothing needs changing there. It's fucking brilliant.
I mean, if I remember correctly, Bauer's, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Harry, but I think you just picked the ball up, run straight, I can't remember who it was, but you just run straight into Med first and then you're just like, yeah, hello, welcome to town, Bauer's here.
That's just nonsense. Like, I can tell you what I did every year in Freshers' Trials. Second year, basically passed out on the touchline because it was my birthday the day before. Or I can't even remember. First year, played against Oxford University. Great game.
Yeah, I need to get those games back.
I then can't remember much for the next few years. We all organised games against Bath Spa in my third and fourth year. And then when I went into the coaching, we started doing it properly.
That's it. So we wanted, like, what I felt is that it's really hard to, in terms of going back to getting the right people in the right teams, it's hard to tell when everyone's becomes a bit of a dick swinging contest.
Awful because everybody thinks they're the star of the show, and you actually see it's always the good players look the shittest, and actually, without offense to them, some of the worst players look better because they're actually more like team people.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's because a lot of it's basically a running weight. So, because I always felt when I was trialing for whatever team that I hated that sort of way because that's just not how I played. So, we ended up, I sort of gave this plan to Joe and we went through it, and it ended up working really well. Where we had, instead of just one massive game, we had sort of six different stations that one might be tackling, one might be passing, lineouts and kicking, forwards and backs. Breakdown, and we'd have a coach and a sort of senior player on each one. So then we had a marking system where, so we gave every player numbers, and the marking system was green was they're really good at that skill. So, you know, it's probably a first team level. Yellow was their average, you know, they're good at it, but they've got stuff to work on. So maybe a second and third, fourth sort of level. And then red is kind of where they need to work on that skill. So we ended up for every player and every category, passing, kicking, whatever, they all had a colour for everything. So if you sort of, we'd have a couple of players that would be green on everything by the end, and we sort of go, right, well, they're probably going to be in the first or second. And then after that, we put them, we used those results, and then we had a game, but we had even teams. So we knew the sort of calibre of players, so we could make it a lot more even. But it just took the dick swinging out because, say, on the passing drill, there was absolutely no contact. So it's you can suddenly actually see how good they are.
Just break it down to all the little separate fundamentals. You're able to mark them, but each part of their game rather than just seeing one sensationalized version of their game, which maybe would have put them through.
They do at the NFL and things like that on the pre-trials or whatever.
Those 40-meter dashes. God, I want to see Bauer do that.
We had a fitness. One of the stages was, well, not fitness, but stuff like that. Sprints. How long can they hold a plank? Wall sit. So we did assess everything. So it worked out really. I think it probably helped keep numbers because sometimes for a lot of people, if you go straight into a massive game, you know, and some people have never played rugby before. So if you go straight into a game where they'd be playing against potential first team players, it's just, it's going to put them off, isn't it? They're not going to want to come back. So.
I can tell you what, just hearing all of this, there's no fucking way I've made the first team back in my day now.
No, Bauer, you'd be straight back in there, mate.
Start and lock. You love it.
I reckon you might be more number eight now, Bauer.
I tell you, I actually I played six on Saturday. When I got there and saw my name on team sheet, six, like, fucking hell, you've not seen me for a while.
I bet they saw you pretty quickly, though.
Oh, mate. First thing I do, all goes rogue at the line out, hand off, offload. Fucking here we go.
Three years, you coming, mate.
You never lose it, Bauer.
Well, mate, if anything, being fat as fuck makes you like a lot less likely to get tackled because I think, nah, not today.
Yeah, that's especially when it starts raining, mate. It gets a bit cold.
And it's also got to be mentioned about your Tower of Power. That's got to be mentioned.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about that. That's got to be mentioned because I thought that was such a class idea that you came up with.
That started in lockdown when we were working out ways to keep players engaged and competing because, like, you know, we're all competitive.
Yeah.
So we had sort of running things that we did and got split into teams, little competitions. And I came up with this Tower of Power, which essentially is you get split into weight categories, 5 kg categories. So right down from 75 and below to the last category is 100 plus kg. And then you all compete at, so there was top end strength. So we had 5 rep max, deadlift, squat and bench, body trap bar deadlift for reps stuff. Then we had body weight stuff like pull-ups, wall sit, plank, broad jump, that sort of thing. And then we had running. So we had 50 meter sprint, 1K and 5K. So it kind of, it allowed opportunities for any players, you know, because they might not be good in the gym, but they might be really good at running or vice versa.
And it was split into weight categories, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it gave everyone an opportunity within their own weight category to kind of always challenge themselves against other people. And, you know, people weren't necessarily lost in amongst it because you had all the big guys lifting the most, for example.
It just made it equal. And that's the best way to engage everyone. So, and then I would post it. Everyone would send a video. I set out rules. So whatever on a squat, you've got to go below 90 degrees, you know, whatever the rules are. And then everyone would send, they had to send me a video of them doing it. So I was sort of made sure it's all fair. And I told a lot of people that I wasn't right. I'm not, you know, that put up, you didn't get high enough on the bar. You didn't fully extend the squat.
Don't film it. Didn't happen.
So I was pretty strict on the form just to keep it fair. But yeah, it went class. I updated it every week, put it on the Facebook sort of saying, these lads are the records that have been broken. And still going. We started it back in November 2019, I want to say.
No, I think it was 2019. I looked at it the other day and we've got maybe 3 different colours on it for each different year. And you know, there's some records that are still there, some getting beaten. And
I tell you what, the roguest ones there, like it's got to be the George Amphlett 23 on the trap bar AMRAP, because it's the worst of like any of the people that did it, and stood for 3 years.
It's interesting because like I thought there would have been more difference in terms of the bigger lads can lift more, but actually that trend really. But there are some ridiculously impressive scores on there, like Alex Jackson.
Yeah, he's lifting serious 10.
Like Simon Riley's wall sit. He did got 45-minute wall
sit. Yeah, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Also, happy birthday to Simon Riley. Yesterday. Happy birthday to Simon.
Or when this comes out, it was a few days ago.
Well, at time of recording. But no, 45 minutes, that's insane. When I saw that, when you put that up, I was thinking...
you've got a great progress on that, haven't you? Because like he put on mass throughout that and the time's just got better and better.
Yeah, well, exactly that. So if I'm 80 kilograms now and I put a record in that category and then I put on weight or lose weight, my record still stays. So like, because as long as you were that weight or whatever. So like Simon's got his wall set or something's in it for like the 75 below, 70 to 75 and 75 plus. And it's like, well, that shows you how much weight he's put on, but he's still smashing it. So like some of the running scores as well are pretty silly. So it's been class, and the lads have got really competitive over it, you know, friendly competition, which has been awesome.
That's perfect. And then just a few final questions, obviously, T-Max. You've taken enough of your time, and you've obviously got to throw a ball around in a sec. It's got to be picked up on, though, that the TDO role, it's not necessarily, I mean, to our knowledge, there might be, but to our knowledge, it's probably not a really hugely common thing in the way we have it, with it being a committee member in your position. I mean, that alone must be quite cool that we're being different to other unis in that sense.
Yeah, it is good. Like, it's just another way of progressing. Joe's really good at it. Like, he's always looking for clubs better in any capacity, not just on the pitch. So, you know, whether that be mentally having welfare officers and diversity officers, you know, or on pitch with something like my role or whatever. So, yeah, it's good that we keep moving forward and adding things that we feel are appropriate.
And do you have any sort of ambitions coming up for the year ahead? What are the sort of the goals and for the role? Like, what do you really want to see coming out of this year and obviously finishing up, you know, in the home stretch now? What do you want to see in 2022?
Well, I think just one that players have felt they've got the part of the role is just supporting players, right? Like, it's like I said, I'm combining it with my coaching, so it's being another link. Sometimes Joe might be too busy or someone, you know, the more coaches that someone can go to, the better. Because, you know, and maybe for me, we've got really good student coaches here, which is really nice and might allow people to sometimes relate a bit more to a student coach. But just like, well, on pitch doing well, that obviously, if everyone's, yeah, all the teams are going well, that probably means the talent of everyone's suitable in the right teams, whatever. People progressing as well through the teams.
Yeah, that developmental sort of jump and that, yeah, sort of those little gains, that sort of 1%, as our friend Adam Moriarty has been saying, you know, that 1% people are gaining must, you know, be for everyone to see in that sense, and for you especially.
And more, well, just... yeah, people feeling more supportive, people getting better, whether that be in the gym, on their own skills, working in their own time, freshers feeling welcomed, stuff like that, which I think did go really well. Something I do want to do, I need to talk to Joe about this, but I had an idea over Christmas. So I was thinking...
exclusive.
Having a meeting with each team with no coaches, just me, and so me in the fifth, me in the fourth, thirds, and I'm going to give them a sheet of paper and I'm just going to say, write down your team, who you'd pick. So obviously for the first team, I just give them a piece of paper and say, right, we got the biggest game of the year, who are you picking? And I want to see that team are collecting all the data and go, right, whatever, Amphlett got 7 votes, Dandy got 6 votes, whoever, and I want to see in each position, I'll write down the team that got the most votes and compare that to the team that we're putting out every week.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing the fucking backs getting the loose head and tight head the wrong way around.
Yeah, classic. But that'd be interesting because obviously you want to play with, we're the ones on the pitch, so we probably know who we want to be playing with. So you want, ideally, whoever gets the most votes throughout the whole team, that should really be the starting team. And it'd be interesting to see how similar the team that the coaches pick to this, what the players think would be.
I think the big problem you always have in that scenario is, and it's like many other things, it's like when you do the lines as well, that 15 you pick are the 15 individually best players, but they're not always going to be the 15 players that bring the best out of each other.
Yeah, definitely. That's where Joe comes in. He knows, whoever coaches, whatever team it is. But it would just be interesting, I think, to see. I'd imagine it's pretty similar, right? Like the team that gets picked is pretty similar to what the players want. But no, I think it'd be interesting to see.
Decent. Harry, do you have questions?
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. Eagerly sat there. This is something we like toyed around with back when I was club captain, doing like we did these meetings without the coaches, and Joe was like, oh, can I have a camera in it? It's like, Joe, if you want the fucking people to tell the truth, you can't be in the fucking meeting in person or in camera, because to get the most out of your players, they want to be able to speak freely.
Yeah.
And don't want to upset you. I mean, a big question I have got, like, outside of this, yourself, as a Banbury Bull, and Quinns, you're both teams 15 from one at this stage in the season, I think. So big head-to-head coming up on like the 12th of March, I think. Back yourselves to finish top?
I do. Well, I'm always going to say that. When we played them, we beat them at Banbury. But it was, you know, they had the chance at the end to win it. They were on our, they had a, whatever, line out 5 minutes out. Yeah, I reckon I'll back us, but it'll be
pretty tight.
Place your bets now. Does Joe Wimpenny turn up? I'm calling it. He's not turning up.
No, I reckon he would for this one. He didn't turn up to the other one. He had something on, but
I called him out on that. I said, "Oh, family," and it's like, "Oh, is it Joe? Is it?"
Yeah. It's good. Like, it's weird, obviously, playing at Banbury and having the Quinns partnership. But I think it's great. We're knocking out loads of players that are playing at Quinns, and they're doing pretty well. I think they're second just after us. So,
what do you reckon? If the Quinns partnership was in when you first started, Brooks, would you be donning the Quinns shirt now rather than Banbury? Or is it Banbury till you die?
No, yeah, Banbury till I die. I started there when I was, six or whatever. So it's sort of my home club. So,
and some would say you've been playing there since you were a young, small lad, mate, but not much has changed, has it?
I've got smaller with age, I reckon, mate. I'm very comfortable in my own skin, though, Bauer. 6'1" is not a bad height, so I'll take it.
Maybe swap the digits around, mate. I think that'd probably be closer. I tell you, actually, so in one of my joke cricket teams, we had this guy who was adamant. It's like, no, I'm 6 foot tall, I'm 6 foot tall. And he went to see the doctor today. He goes, lads, I was at the doctor's, got them to give a height measurement. And it literally comes like 5'11", 0.45792387. And like, the first reply was, all those digits, not a 6 in it.
Yeah, it's a tough life for us under the 6, mate.
But it does make you agile. And score lots of tries.
Yeah, that's it.
Silver
mate.
Linings, mate.
It's about to say the nil back of Brooks Rugby.
That's it, mate. There's always heroes there under 6 foot, mate.
Not all heroes wear capes, mate. They carry a rugby ball.
I'm very happy being my high, actually, Bauer.
I reckon, actually, for things like jackling and like being an absolute nuisance as a flanker, being shorter is better because it just lets you get through. And I think in many ways, I bet there's been so many times players have underestimated you and you've just basically been able to go, fuck off, you stupid twat.
Well, it's lower central gravity. I think everything has its advantages, doesn't it, though? You know, you're lighter, you could potentially therefore be quicker, closer to the ground for jackling. But also, the thing I've learned is it probably enhances your technique more, because from a young age, you can't just run through people. So, you know,
you've got to think outside the box a bit.
If you don't learn the proper technique, then it's just not going to work. So often I find now that a lot of the bigger lads who could cruise up to they were 18 or 16, say, everything sort of catches up with them a bit. But
they take it for granted and just have sloppy technique all around.
Yeah. Having said that, I could do with a few extra inches. So.
I did hear that hole being filled in, but nice
it's
sentence
awful,
nonetheless.
Awful.
Nice sentiments nonetheless, Harry, but that hole was definitely getting filled in. Definitely don't need a shovel for Christmas next year. Anyway, sorry, T-Mac, thank you very much.
Sorry,
mate.
That was going a very different direction than I expected.
Before you bully him even more, Barry, we got better let him go so he can throw the pill around. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, T-Mac, mate. Let's obviously pick this up and... in a fair few months' time, once a lot of the stuff we've been talking about comes to action, have a little check-in and see how you're doing.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to seeing that mail in the post, Bauer.
Yeah. Written apology, Bauer.
Yeah.
It's not like a FIFA apology.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. I mean, we could go that way. But anyway,
yeah, I'll let you know
my look forward to seeing you down on what is it, the 20th of March? The
12th of March.
No, I'm talking about the Nottingham game.
It's, oh, indeed. No, yeah, 16th.
Yeah, I was getting my birthday's on the 20th. So I was going to say, I'm going to a party, are you, boys?
Rent free.
yeah, lads, that'd be awesome. I'll see you then.
Cool. Thanks a lot, T-Mac, mate.
Cheers, lads. Cheers,
see you. Go well, brother.
It's good having T-Mac on, was it?
Yes, mate. Very good indeed.
Always a good crack.
I think we need to make sure that you get that apology in pretty quickly.
I tell you what, it's just not happening.
Oh, well. Now, Harry.
Thomas.
Shall we get into a bit of Bucks?
A little bit of the Bucks.
We're back with a bang. 2022 starts off on the first Bucks Wednesday with three tasty little games. Now, the first 15 are at home to Worcester. The fifth 15 are home to Trent. Fifths. And obviously, the women have got that big old trek to Sheffield that we mentioned pre-Christmas. A couple of tasty ones there. Doubleheader at home.
I think we've mentioned that Sheffield versus the women's team game more times than the game's going to last.
I really want them to get that result. I mean,
play at this stage?
I just want them to get to Fishies afterwards. I think we've enforced that point more as well than what we've even supposed to be.
I tell you what, just we'll have to get somebody from the women's team onto the pod next week to do the grand reveal of whether they made it to Fishies.
I think we might have to. We might have to reach out to the girls and see if any of them want to come on. I think hopefully they'll be in a buoyant mood that they've just saw off Sheffield and they're into round two and then slowly but surely into the quarterfinals after that. But hey, a lot of rugby to play before then. But that this double header as well, Harry, you know, the ones and the fives, you know, that the notorious Trent fives paying a visit and obviously Worcester ones. I mean, that's set up for a tasty little afternoon at Horse Pass, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a bit of a trek for Trent first game back after Christmas. I mean, a sort of smaller trek, but still a trek nonetheless to Worcester as well. But should be two cracking games down at Horse Pass. Can't see the one slipping up. They're hard on the graft, aren't they? Getting ready for it.
Comes down to the old cliche, doesn't it, Harry?
Which one?
Each game at a time, you know?
Thought you were going to go for the fail to prepare, prepare to fail, mate.
Oh, no, we're always ready, you know? We're always ready. I think it's, you know, one game at a time. You know, you can only win your own games. I mean, I'm just going to quit now. Quit while I'm ahead, all these cliches. But I mean that's got to be the approach, hasn't it? I mean, it's most likely going to be coming down to the game against Nottingham on the 16th
Literally
of March.
2 months. Literally 2 months away.
I think it probably will do because they're flying as high as we are. And we've just got to focus on ourselves until that moment presents itself. But yeah, I think, you know, good bunch. I don't think things could be, you know, touch wood, be derailed. Because, I mean, they're playing their own game, they express themselves. And fingers crossed, we'll have a celebratory pint in hand, having the job done.
Yes, we hopefully shall.
Now, should we get into shout-outs?
We can have a little shout-out.
So these are all the players that have represented club. We get a bit of a draw. Obviously, we had boys out for Quinns, Banbury and Henley Hawks this past weekend. So starting off with Quinns. So the first 15 went to Newbury and got a nice little 30.
Good race course there, mate.
Pardon me?
Good race course there.
Well, mate, you backed the right horse. Absolutely back. Because a 31-24 win against Newbury, that keeps the winning run going. You know, they're up to, well, they're staying at second because something we'll mention in a second. But had Johnny Ireland, James Boardman, Ben Jenkins and Michael Wright out for them this weekend. Moving on to the twos.
Big Michael Wright's just got a new job, I hear, tying him to a long-term Oxford Harlequins contract, more or less.
Things you like to see. You know, Wrighty did add from looking back at the tape a little bit and hearing what the boys were saying. Wrighty had a great game. Fantastic, great. Dealing with a bit of a feisty prop that likes to, I don't know, have a bit of a self-expression, shall we say, in the game. But dealt with him very well. And
yeah, I'll tell you what, Wrighty's... People always wonder, like, Wrighty only eats fish, nothing else, just fish. I reckon that alone is enough to off put half the props he plays against.
He does have that
fish breath.
He does have that Captain Haddock look for the Tintin fans amongst you all. If you, for those that know, they know. If you know, you know. But there is definite likeness, which no doubt I'll share with Harry afterwards.
What was it? The fact he's grey.
No, you'll see it. Once I send a picture of him, you'll see it. It's an uncanny likeness. Yeah, less of that about that, the better. I have to obviously run it through you first. On to the twos, we had Sam Dapper and Archie van Dijk.
I hear Archie van Dijk bagged a hat-trick the week before.
He's playing some good rugby at the moment, Arch.
I dropped him a little message off the hat-trick and saying, oh, yeah, good crack, lad, but like it's only twos rugby.
Yeah.
Didn't take well to it.
They unfortunately came up short against Rams. Rams 3s this week, 14-10. But shout out to Sam Dapps for leaving the kit bag behind. With a few bits and bobs. Always nice to see from Big Sam. But
it's always a good advert for Brooks, that, isn't it?
He was obviously very apologetic after, and, you know, we all make mistakes.
I mean, to be fair, like, that's probably not in Brooks' history or things related to Brooks' history. That's not the worst thing to ever happen. I think we're coming back from Northampton away and we stopped at a service station.
Oh,
we left
no.
The player behind. What was it? This was a few years ago, but we had the coach, we were on a coach. We had the like coach with us, we had Wimpenny, etc. And we started pulling off, and you can see just a player running out,
just running off to go, stop. Let me on.
I think Wimpenny got some rinsing for that, at least to say.
You do like to see it though. Good bit of fun that. But it must be said that the twos are solidifying fifth at the moment. You know, they've had a tough start, but they're just finding form. You know, they're picking up some wins, which would be good, hopefully turning it around going into the new year. The threes, we had a load of Brooks involvement. So shout out to James Geary, aka Bumble. Good old lad in the front row. Had an absolute stormer of a game, apparently. Ali Sheldon at nine, unbelievable. Charlie Palmer, Hugh Longden, Lewis Ford all coming out. They came out 72-8 winners over your Buckingham Threes this weekend, Harry.
Well, all I know from what we talked about, that isn't even the largest score on this pod this week. So,
I mean, mighty threes. You got about the threes. You should get a tattoo, Harry, of a three. I think it's just your lucky number. But anyway, they're heading up first at the moment. Just the two losses and 1-7. So they're doing well. They're coming along. Hopefully eyeing a bit of a promotion coming out. Banbury ones. Tom Easton came out. He was man of the match, Barry. What do you think about that?
Of course he was, mate. The mighty Beaston.
Man of the match. They had a narrow win, 24-12 against Buckingham ones.
Win
is a win. They're heading up the league still. You know, it's just the one loss, as well as Quinn's.
How many points separate them?
It's not actually that far. I think the points are closing, because there have been a few narrow wins here or there where Quinn's have, you know, made up for it. So
what you're saying is, before a very tasty Brooks game versus Nottingham to decide the league, there could be a very tasty Quinn's game versus Banbury to decide their league.
There could be. I've got it right now. It's 4 points.
Oh, I tell you, that's probably the worst time for that game to happen as well. The week before, all the Brooks first team need to be in prime position to fight for a league title. They're going to be fighting against each other for a league title.
You love to see it. You absolutely love to see it. I mean, it's absolutely awesome. I mean, the points difference. So Banbury are plus 384. Quinn's are plus 359. Try bonus. Quinn's got 12, Banbury got 11. Losing bonus, one each. I mean, it's as tight as you like. It's, I mean, 25 points literally scored alone in difference separates them amongst just an extra try bonus. And that's all that, and it has to be mentioned, that is all considering a 5-point deduction as so well.
Basically, what we're saying is Quins are actually top of the league, if not for the deduction.
By a point, yes. AKA the extra try bonus. So yeah, but that's out of our hands. That is what it is. But yeah, we move. But it will be an incredibly tasty game near the end of the season. And then finally, Henley Hawks, 21-21 draw against Redruth. They're sat in sixth. You know, we played 16, won 10, lost 4, drawn 2. George Amphlett out for them again, obviously. Still playing some fantastic rugby down there. Didn't expect to see that as a draw, to be honest with you. But hey.
You love a good draw, mate. You've got to love a good draw.
You're seeing a lot more of them. You never used to see a draw in rugby. And now, you know, it's like a London bus. Two come up once, you know. But at the end of the day,
we'll have to change how the point scoring works if we want to get rid of them, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, I think from what it looked like, they had a penalty try in the 62nd minute, Henley, which got the draw. The last point before that scored on 43rd minute. So large gap of Redruth winning, and clearly Henley doing all the right things to get that penalty try in the 62nd minute near the end of the game with 18 to go.
Things you love to hear.
Things you love to hear. Right. Now, we've got to thank our sponsors, Harry.
Always thank the sponsors, mate, who make it all possible.
We know this is your favourite part of the week as well, isn't it?
I just love how well you've rehearsed these. You've got the perfect ad voice now, mate.
Thank you so much. I mean, we've got to give back to those that have allowed us to be at the high level of performance that we have been. So first of all, to Sapago, a convenience app to help you beat the queues. They're a lifestyle payment app that allows you to instantly order and at the same time pay for your food, drinks, or retail products from your phone. They either collect from a counter, bar, or have it delivered to the table or home from any of the participating stores or venues. Secondly, a new one, Harry.
Big a welcome, new one, Tom.
Big welcome back that have extended their relationship with us, really, is to Chaddington Brewery. You know, known as the Oxford Beer, Chaddington Brewery are passionate about the art of brewing beer. Taking inspiration from the glorious Oxfordshire countryside, they create the great tasting beers that everyone can enjoy. Brewed using only natural ingredients, including Oxfordshire spring water and the finest English hops and malt, they take their time to ensure that every brew is the best it can be. And then obviously to our title sponsors, Oxford Shirt Company, a business providing a broad range of products for men, women, and kids, from knitwear to socks to jackets. But what lies at the heart of everything they do is a commitment to create beautiful, timeless clothes fit for any modern wardrobe, with shirt making, of course, being the heart of their business since it was founded over 30 years ago. And Harry, you've just before we pack up, I think you've just sent me something quite interesting. Do you want to enlighten the listeners to what you've just sent me?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I'm back home in Lincolnshire at the moment, and there's been this quite interesting saga breakout over the past week. There's an animal sanctuary in a village like just down the road, probably a couple of miles away. And they have like really weird animals, including a wallaby called Ant. And it actually broke out of its cage 2 weeks ago, and it's been on the run ever since. And probably a bit of different conditions than they're used to, like the freezing nights of Lincolnshire and the pure flatness. But they apparently on Saturday caught it. And the RSPCA turned up with nets and all sorts of things. And they put it into a dog cage and they're transporting it back to the sanctuary. And it just kicked the front off the cage and hopped out. And they just couldn't catch it again. So it's back on the run.
So what you're telling me, Harry, is there is a wallaby on the run in Lincolnshire.
Yeah, a wallaby called Ant on the run in Lincolnshire. Couldn't make it up.
Maybe it's gone to find Deck. Maybe there's maybe there's a wannabe called Deck somewhere, and they just all they want to do is just be reunited.
I've genuinely seen like videos of people driving by and it's just hopping down the road. It's but genuinely, people are going to think this is utter bollocks. Go out, go and Google it. Like Lincolnshire wallaby on the loose.
Google Lincolnshire wallaby on the run. And everyone will just find it. Goodness me, Harry. The things, honestly, the things that are going on in Lincolnshire. I think you went back at the right time. It's all kicking off.
Oh, next weekend's adventure, trying to track down the wallaby.
You should do that. Just do like a Bower Diaries.
Oh, genuinely. So I just did a quick Google to make sure people will find it. Like all the papers have got it. We've got BBC News. I think that's BBC World News. We've got obviously the Daily Mail spin. We've got RSPCA hunt for missing wallaby in Lincolnshire countryside after it escaped from petting farm. I'm surprised they haven't like blamed people for it. Gone, the wallaby is in fact a drug addict.
I mean, you're not wrong. I've just found it myself. That's literally where you do live. and the wallaby, he's got that look in his eye.
I tell you, it's these migrants, was he? That's the Daily Mail would probably put in it. These migrant wallabies.
Oh no, I've just it's funny I say he's gone to find Deck. I've just found on the bottom of one of the articles, it said that apparently Deck is very sad because he wants his friend Ant to come home. Oh, Barry, what have you done? It's made it into a poor little... Look, all we've got to do is... So when we come around to next week, you've basically got to give us an update on whether Ant has been reunited to Deck.
Is this going to be a new feature of the pod, like Ant update?
Yeah. 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 Bower's animal stories or something. I look forward to it. You're just coming up with obscure news articles every week. Yeah, why not? If the viewers will get.
If you want more animal content on the rapidly changing podcast,
just drop us a DM. Just on the main page, really. Just on the main club page if you want that. We will facilitate it. Anyway, perfect stuff, Harry. I think we should basically tell everyone where they can sort of find me. Obviously, just subscribe, rate, and review us. It's as simple as that. It gets us far and wide so everyone can hear Harry's
beautiful,
interesting
voice.
Well, yeah, beautiful voice, but your interesting animal stories, for one. and it gets us put out there. Obviously, huge thank you to T-Mac for coming on, giving us a little update on everything he's doing and everything that's going on Brooks-wise. Yeah.
Potentially a big guest next week.
There might be. I mean, I don't know if there'll be enough room for all three of us because
big egos.
We got a big wig coming on, I think, in the Brooks Rugby world. So we'll keep it a secret, keep everyone on their toes, you'll see who we've got on. But yeah, thanks, Harry.
Cheers, Tom.
Mañana. Ciao for now.
Avivederci.